Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, quick and test. Who can ask for more? My grandma got me Softbox 64.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people's show. Come on to the premiere show, SmackDown.
It's the 11th of January in the year of our Lord, 2001.
A space odyssey.
Bob the Builder.
Yes, he can.
Can We Fix It? Is still number one in the charts. Unbreakable. Yes, he can. Still number one in the charts. And yes, the Beatles number one is still number one in the charts. Get used to that expression. Mega Man 64 is the big game release this week. Have you played it, Tom?
I have. I didn't like it as much as the other Mega Men. I think Mega Man 3 was the definitive one. You know, we're long beyond that beautiful time where all the Mega Man games have bosses with just random household objects as their weapons, like Soot Man and Dust Man and Pliers Man and Sand Man. And I missed those days. Those were the definitive days for Mega Man. Mega Man 64, you're trying to be too much. I wonder whether I'm just a bit of a curmudgeon when it comes to video games leaping into the third dimension. Because outside of Mario 64, and obviously Bubsy 3D, none of them touched the sides for me.
Yeah. It was interesting seeing how many franchises and games developing studios crashed out as soon as polygons became the important thing. It's a fascinating thing. Anyway, I've not played it, but lots of people say it's good, so I'll take their word for it rather than have an opinion of my own. On the 9th of January, Sven Gordon Eriksson resigned as Lazio manager and frees himself to take charge of the England team 6 months earlier than planned, taking over from Kevin Keegan.
Sven Goran Eriksson. Yeah. He's a lovely geezer, but don't forget he comes from Sweden.
Yeah.
That was the song.
It certainly was. The Mole debuts on Channel 5, based on an idea from Belgium. The series sees 10 contestants complete a number of tasks as they are whittled down to an eventual winner who will win £200,000.
Had quite an interesting name in Belgium, The Mole.
What was the name?
D-Mole.
D-Mole. That's so crap. So crap. Especially because I know that they speak French. So surely I was expecting Le Mole.
So was I, monsieur. I didn't name it.
De Mole. Yeah, that's why it's a funny name. Why is it not called The Mole?
Exactly.
Like the Belgies?
The Belgies.
I don't know what the plural is of Belgian people.
Belgiumites.
Waffles.
A waffle of Belgians.
Yeah, anyway, a great show there, The Mole. And the TV debut on the other channel of ITV's Pop Stars, which will follow efforts to put together a 5-piece band who will then record and release a single. I've heard it will be a success, but it might just be hearsay.
Oh, I see what he did there.
But all that was happening in the ugly pussville world of reality. What was happening in the wonderful world of wrestling? Fucked if I know. But luckily for you and me, Mr. Tom Campbell is here to greet us through this lovely little thing known as the Cultaholic Classic SmackDown Review.
Yay!
Mr. Tom Campbell, our guide for the next hour and a bit. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, more importantly?
It's been a good day.
It's been a busy day. So if you're watching on the Patreon, you may notice...
Oh, it's the camera. Is it on, is it?
The camera's on, yeah. You may notice...
Is it definitely on?
It's definitely on, Your
Honour.
Done
this before, Tom. Has it been checked?
There's the button there that says start recording.
I know, I said that last time.
And there's a thing there that is recording as well. So we're good. Okay. We've got backups okay. ready to go. So if you're watching on the camera, you'll notice it looks slightly different. So we are recording this directly after, exactly one sausage sandwich after the 4-year anniversary, 200th episode spectacular of the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah, the spectacular thing was that it happened.
It actually happened. So I got a message early in the morning from Matthew. So you know, full disclosure, we record the Classic SmackDown review after the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast has been recorded. So whilst that is being put together by our team of hardworking editor types, hello Tubbs, hello Andrew, we will come back into the studio and we'll do the SmackDown review. You messaged me at about 9 this morning because I came in later this morning, and you said, heads up, lots of technical problems at Cultaholic HQ. Turned out it'd been a big power cut next door. And you end up having to haul all the equipment from the podcast studio into the old studio where you used to do the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast. And if anything, quite a fitting anniversary thing to do, to go back where it all began.
Yeah, that's what's like OJ Simpson going back to Florida.
Yeah, it's basically is what you did. So you finished it, and I thought, well, look, we'll just jump in here since all this equipment is already set up, and we'll carry on the party. It's the after party, and Matthew went and had himself a little bit of food, and
oh, dude, you should have heard the noise I made when it came out, and it was three massive sandwiches taken out of a tiny bun. And I went, that's what I like to see. No. The sausage is bigger than the bun, and you could hear them as I served it. It's like, I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to have a bite now. Take off the mask and then put it back on because it's before going to work.
Oh.
Eating it there. The 2-minute walk from the place to there.
You were the hungry after a, was it 4 hours?
I'm always hungry anyway, but it's just a particular hungry moment in my life.
You clocked on that. I think I clocked in 4 hours, didn't it?
It felt like it.
Well, you'll know because you'll have watched it by now. This is why we've got tired, no, Matthew.
I've seen the length and got scared.
Hey, we've all been there.
But you know what, Tom?
Das Maul.
But you know what, Tom? You were like, are you okay? Do you want to do this like another day? I'm like, no, I love doing this with you. I love having
a good time.
I did
give
you
an out.
Yeah, I don't want an out.
I did give you an out. And, well, you want it in with a big sausage. Da 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 da. So that's good. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that we'll get through. We won't keep you too long. We'll just talk about wrestling from the year of our Lord 2001. I'm good, thank you. I'm good. Different to you guys. I started later today because I've come very close to burning my own brain out this week with stuff. Just a lot of burner. Just hold the mic. Should we go rogue?
Yeah.
So we got.
The only way, by the way, sorry to give you more stuff like on the video, but like I have to take them off.
I've unloosened the Velcro on mine, but so we can go rogue.
These were like snooker commentators now. To these little table things, you know, the ones that rattle when you do that. Yeah, that one. Are nice, but they don't go well with these relaxing chairs we can sink back.
Now I've basically
been at a, you know, 75 degree angle for that 4-hour podcast to make it work. Otherwise, I'd look even smaller than I already am. And shout out to Eva Stoffwaffle, artist extraordinaire, for making that lovely little drawing of all of us.
Oh, is it lovely? The old Reese's pieces.
It's a good recess pieces. That's a good point. It's funny though, because obviously the drawing is the smallest because I am. And they're like, oh, you're not that small. I was like, no, I am. It's fine. I'm happy being the smallest. If I was the second smallest, that'd be a bitch. But if you're going to be the smallest, then be really small.
Yeah.
But the only way for me to work is me like stand like this, but stand upright. And now you can see me. It's great. Yeah, but me back.
I feel like if we're going to be lackadaisical.
This is lovely.
If we're going to be lackadaisical. For
I'm not being lackadaisical.
I'm going to tilt the camera a little bit. There we go. So we can be lackadaisical and we don't have a lot of dead space at the top.
See, we hate Dead Space.
This is what
Dead Space 3 was good, though. No, actually, that's a lie. No, it's the other way around.
There we go. That's better.
Does this sound all right?
I'll be fine.
Okay.
It's only the SmackDown review. It's fine.
So I'm holding the microphone to my mouth.
Do you know what? Can I give you a little top tip? Loosen the stand at the bottom. Screw it. Yeah. Lefty-loosey, righty-tighty. It's lighter.
Thank you.
And and we'll just do it like this today,
oh,
which is nice.
I fall asleep.
Have a little sleep during the SmackDown review.
I'll wait for test match.
The SmackDown review is normally where we show the wires, yeah. So that's
anyway,
fine.
I've got that out of the way. How are you feeling, pal? That's what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
I'm feeling better. I think I've just burned my brain out a little bit this week with a lot of other things that's going on, and so I took a morning off to sleep in, to catch up on my sleep, and just to kind of reset a little bit before coming in. I thought the only thing I've got to do today, really, obviously the news and stuff was covered, so thank you very much to the team for covering that. But the only other thing in my day was this show with you. So I thought, okay, well, I'll come in to do that and that'll be fine. So I got to spend like a really nice, blissful morning sat with Pablo, with our cat. And we recently installed Cat TV Live in our house. I say Cat TV Live. I've put a bird feeder on the balcony.
Ah.
And it is going down a storm. And I got to sit and watch him today during his normal morning routine, which I don't see because I'm out so early, of Pablo on the floor next to the balcony windows, the balcony doors, or on his top of his cat tree, just mesmerized, watching the birds flying in and out of the balcony, having the best day. Like, you can tell, like, a couple of times I called him, he was like, not now, I'm watching my program. Like, he's having a great day. And it's very, very satisfying to watch him just having the best day and living his best life.
Good.
With the cat tree. So I've enjoyed that today. So I've had a nice chilled one today. So it's just good. And I've got a chilled one on the weekend as well. When you're listening to this, I'm not working either day of the weekend, which never happens. I booked the Sunday off for something. They asked me to work, my other job asked me to work the Sunday. And I booked it off for something. I can't remember what. But anyway, that thing isn't happening. Whatever it was going to be. So I've just kept the Sunday off. So I'm just going to have a weekend of, I've got beers on Saturday. When you're listening to this, I'll be having a few beers, but then that's it really, which is quite nice. I feel like I'm at a point now as an adult where I quite enjoy doing nothing. I'm a big fan of those little pots of time where there's nothing to do.
I think I've been so busy or just distracting myself with busyness this past year and a bit. I think I know what you mean.
Yeah.
What I like is booking myself time to go, this is the bit where you do this, you relax like this. Otherwise my brain won't go, just relax, because I won't. No, I have this to do. I have X, Y, Z, Alpha, Omega, Bravo.
I am the Alpha, Bravo. Yeah. Bravo,
636, you know, and all the rest. But if I put myself off at the time, they go, okay, you need this.
Yeah.
Like last week, I was supposed to finish my video to get ready to do another video this week. And instead, I got rather tiddly, which was a mistake. because I said, F this. I've never beaten Undertale, Genocide Run. I've never beaten Sans Undertale. And I thought, well, I'll just beat him with this Jaeger, right? 4 hours.
Oh, mate.
I didn't even come close. And then I just went... And I was almost mad at myself because that's how I decided to waste my time. So now I've just gone, all right, no more alcohol in the house. That's a bad crack. But if I'm going to relax, don't be playing hard video games.
No.
There's lots of other things you could be doing.
Play easy video games.
Video game time is now Wednesdays when I do the streaming.
But do you not think you'll miss
just... Oh, no, so Disco Elysium, but that's just because it's an amazing game.
Do you not think you'll miss just playing video games just to not... perform on stream? Because well, when I have it. My I, 2 weeks
right
off...
Right now, you're quite right, Tom. Sorry. I am playing Disco Elysium right now. And people are like, you should stream it. He goes, no.
Yeah, when I had 2 weeks off and I was playing Spider-Man and people messaged me saying, oh, you should stream it. I was like, no, because I'd like to just...
Because it's performing.
Perform. And it is. And I think people miss that because it looks like it's like streaming so much fun. But it is performance piece. Mm. It is. You are performing to a camera, and some days you don't want to perform to a camera.
Yeah.
Some days you just want to stop and play a game
and
not talk. Alex said she'd always be a crap streamer because she just wanted to just shut up and play the game.
Yeah.
She couldn't be bothered to talk to people. And I get that. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I do.
But I'm glad that you are taking the time to relax. You're cutting back on a few things and
This feels very relaxed this week.
Well, yeah.
Because
we're
leaning back in chairs on the Patreon. You've paid for this.
This is pretending to relax with a very, very busy, stressful morning, to say the effing least.
But this is... Okay, we're going to try and use this podcast as... Because I know there's a few people that have messaged me and said that they listen to the SmackDown review whilst they go to sleep.
Oh, that's
which is nice. So I like that. So if you are one
of
those,
speak as delicately as possible.
No, but but the problem is, I had somebody message and said, I tried it, but the problem is that you have such a piercing laugh that it wakes me up.
Yeah, I do have quite.
No, me, not you. You're
fine.
Oh,
no, no, no. My laugh is like, you know, the friggin' hyena from Lady and the Tramp. I'm just going to sleep now. The Ben's almost got his eyes shut. Fantastic. Noah. Oh, great.
That's a lie. You never laugh at the Noah gag anymore.
Well,
it's you stop laughing. What's the Noah gag, you say? Well.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Tell it again. I love it.
We'll do it later.
He's doing the Noah joke again.
Audience retention. We'll do it later.
That's how we retain the audience.
That's how we retain the audience. That's how we retain the audience. We'll do it later.
Oh, no, wait. Well, we're actually like afterwards, be like, after that annoying, piercing laugh of ours, we'll be like, oh, wait, it started raining against the window.
What's wrong with your rain?
I realize now I can't do rain. That's not how you do rain at all. There's an annoying poltergeist outside with the rain.
It's Dustin Runnels. He's trying a new gimmick. He's trying to steal a child, apparently. Who signed off on that?
That's not a rain. It's a crap ghost.
It's a black rain.
Hey.
He doesn't like you talking about that. He'll get angry on Twitter with you. Need. Should we talk about the wrestling world?
Oh, go on then. Set the scene for us while I lay in my bed, my hot water bottle to my side, and my socks that I haven't taken off yet because I want to feel the impact when I do take them off. Right after this bit.
Are you post-wank as well?
I'm always post-wank.
Excellent. So let's talk about the world from the WWF in 2001. So in a minute, Matthew Gregg is going to talk us through the rigors of SmackDown for this week in the year of our Lord 2001. But I'm going to paint the picture of what is happening in the wrestling world. You know what? It's actually quite a big week in wrestling. It's a big bloody week in the wrestling.
There's going to be several really big weeks in 2001.
But this one is the first big week. Okay.
Go on, what happened?
It was announced on Thursday, January the 11th, 2001, that Eric Bischoff and Fusion Media had purchased World Championship Wrestling for an undisclosed amount, believed to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $25 million. Multi-channel news reported WCW was sold for $74 million, while Jordan Rohan, a Wit Soundview media analyst, said it was only worth 10 to 15 million. The sale is expected to be officially closed within 30 to 45 days. Bischoff, who will serve as primary president, took over creative control upon making the announcement at a meeting with WCW department heads at 9 a.m. last Thursday. Brian Bedell, the head of Fusion, will become WCW's new CEO. TBS Incorporated retained a minority interest in the company in order to retain long-term programming rights. For the time being, Nitro and Thunder will continue to air in the current time slots. There has been talk for over a year of moving all sports programming to TNT and off TNT and onto TBS, so Nitro will probably move to TBS at some point. So Fusion Media, Eric Bischoff, buying WCW, the dream lives on. I can't see a single thing going wrong at this point. All going to be fine.
It's so fascinating if you're a wrestler at this point going, oh, thank God. Eric Bischoff with a team? That sounds great. Away from Russo and all the shenanigans going on this company? That'll be great. Bischoff has a great idea of the business. He knows how to do things. I feel that everything's going to be all right.
It's just going to be absolutely
life fine. Is cruel.
The day before SmackDown aired was a very significant moment in the wrestling world as well.
What happened?
It was the day that ECW put on a show at Pine Bluff.
Are we there already?
We are there already. Oh. The final ECW show takes place the day before the airing of this week's episode of SmackDown. Paul Heyman did not attend either show. We know where he's been. And the mood backstage amongst almost everyone was that this was it. People were hugging, crying, saying goodbye, and wishing the best of luck to each other. And the whole crew came out and did a curtain call of sorts to close the show on the 13th. A quick rundown of the card from that show. From the last two shows, actually. Tony Marquez beat a guy named Phoenix. Christian York and Jerry Matthews beat the FBI. San Graziano was not flown in, worth noting. Jack Victory, a babyface, beat C.W. Anderson with help from Spike Dudley. Tajiri beat Super Crazy. Doring and Nova beat De Niro and Easy Money with no roadkill. Dreamer beat Just Incredible, and Francine and Credible finally broke up after the match. Then Rhino, billed as the ECW World Champion, beat the Sandman. Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn, Kid Cash, Chris Hamrick, Steve Corino, Dawn Marie, Simon Diamond, Chili Willy, Sinister Minister, Mikey Whipwreck, Joel Gertner, Cyrus, and Balls Mahoney, what happened to that wrestler, were among those not flown in. Sandman celebrated in the ring with some fans afterwards. The final Saturday show would see Michael Shane beat Oz, Prodigy beat Beth Phoenix, York and Matthews beat FBI, Jack Vidger beat C.W. Anderson in a street fight, Tajiri beat Super Crazy, Ryder beat Dudley, Doring and Dreamer beat De Niro in Easy Money, Credible beat Sandman, and Sandman beats Credible in an impromptu rematch. The guys in ECW are holding out hope that something big will happen soon, but the reality is, future looks very bleak.
Yeah. Lots going on. I've got them on, also DVD, on ISO somewhere, those shows, and it is just like, yeah, ECW. It just shows how far behind a lot of people were. I guess ourselves, like, oh, ECW's in financial trouble. Yeah, we've heard that story before, pal.
Yeah.
Oh, they're in trouble, are they? Oh, no. Well, here's a show. It happened. Lots of people not on those shows. I like the fact that, like, Francine, one of the little highlights there, Francine's gimmick of Just Incredible. Francine was only with Just Incredible because she was a belt whore and would only have sex with Just Incredible if he had the title. So his motivation to get the title back was to have sex with Francine. And there's segments where Francine's going, you can get away with me, I'm putting out. And he was like hanging out with Missy Hyatt going, I'll just get with her instead. He goes, fine. I only have sex with the best. If you don't have the title, I don't want you.
I mean, I don't mind that as a means to an end to get a championship. It's a bit different to, it's the most prestigious prize in our game.
Yeah, but EC dub, got to be different. It's like, you know what? Credible needed something. And it was just like, damn it, I've got blue balls.
Yeah, it's a grim one.
But in terms
of
that, though, it's, you know, it's these house shows. Some of them are pretty crazy and some of them are very watchable. But this was just a show. Interesting seeing the TWA guys, like Michael Shane and Oz on there. It's like, oh, you know, Shawn Michaels training them and all
that. Yeah, exactly.
That's
cool. He's gone to do good things.
But, yeah, it's just a sad moment. Everyone in the ring crying, going, this is the end. They decided a while ago, I think you said a few weeks ago, that, yeah, that decided this was going to be it. And that's it.
In the same week, WCW and ECW with monumental changes. Now, WCW
isn't
done.
It's insane how close these major events were.
Yeah. It was like a cheese, you know, and you know, very coming very soon, Vince McMahon's going to hit the supermarket in the middle aisle of the wrestling supermarket Lidl. It's going to be ripe for stuff.
It's like day three of a festival where all the artists are like, look, I'm selling it for cheaper because I just won't get rid of it.
Yep. I'll end on something a little bit brighter. WWF teamed up with Music City Wrestling to present a show called Corinth Chaos. On January the 13th. Corinth Chaos.
Corinth Chaos.
Okay. Because it was in Corinth, Minnesota.
It sounds like a Crash Bandicoot level.
Yeah, it does a little bit, doesn't it? Wow. Said to be a nice vocal crowd. Here's the card from it.
Sorry.
Wow. Budabaga.
I'm sorry, you're reading that.
Oh, baby. Joey Abs beat Just Joe. Abs crazy over for some reason at Music City Wrestling.
For some reason.
They love Joey Abs. I guess he's a pretty big guy now. Sometimes you don't reach your full genetic potential until you're in your mid-20s. This is from The Observer.
What?
Scott Vick beat
Lance
Cade.
Is he about himself there?
Might do, actually.
He's discovered horse meat.
He's a hefty boy now.
Big boy.
Scott Vick beat Lance Cade.
God, the Vicks.
Haas Brothers beat Seven and Slash. Dups beat Spanky and Shooter Schultz.
The Dups.
Remember the Dups? Yeah. Remember the Dups? Sound like Peter Kay there. Remember the Dups? Shooter and Spanky are two Shawn Michaels students. And Spanky is very, very good, as it's been pointed out here. We're going to become the Brian Kendrick.
My favorite 40-year-old twink.
Power Pro champ Steve Bradley beat MCW Southern champ Spellbinder in a title-for-title match.
Spellbinder, God.
They did a 20-man rumble won by Bill Dundee.
What?
Bill Dundee. Won a rumble, why not?
Sure.
Robert Gibson was in the rumble as well.
Of course.
Ivory beat...
Oh, wait, I really want to know who the other people in this rumble.
Oh, I wish I'd had the full list now. I wish I had the full list on me. We also had Ivory beating Kat to retain the WWF Women's title. We also had Raven beat Crash Holly to retain the hardcore title. Mm-hmm. Jerry Lawler beating Steven Richards. Lawler did a spot where he pounded Richards in the corner 40 consecutive times, did 40 punches to the head, and the crowd counted along. And then the main event, Too Cool beat the Mean Street Posse. Too cool. Got the biggest pump of the night. I don't know why I included that. I think because outside of the two big stories, it was quite a lean week for other wrestling news. I think those two big stories are the beefiest of ones.
Is there a reason why they helped that show? Who's running Music City?
Music City Wrestling. I believe that'll be somebody connected to Jerry Lawler. So I think it's probably like a favor for Lawler to throw some people their way. At this point, they are still throwing like the odd wrestlers at shows. They do it a lot with OVW, which is obviously developmental territory. But Music City Wrestling maybe being considered for something similar. Maybe. But that's all the wrestling news really from this week. Two big ones. I mean, like, just to bounce back to the top two stories. So as a fan at this point, were you, when the announcement was coming out about Bischoff and Fusion buying WCW, what were you thinking? I make it sound like you did it. What were you thinking? What were you thinking was going to go down?
By the time we got the news from World of Wrestling magazine or Powerslam, it was like it was all caught up. Eric Bischoff thought it was going to buy it. Well, that didn't happen. Also, ECW's dead. It's like, what? Whoa. Sweet child of mine, what's happening? So it all seemed to come at once, and it was just like, all right, okay. So crazy thoughts. So I think when it actually happens, but you know what I think of now, though?
What's that, mate?
When I think of that, the magnificent video package that Trimoon put together for OSW down that lonely road.
Road of faith.
Yeah, the only faith. Yeah.
I have been there.
That is way too good a song for Kid Rock, by the way.
It is, isn't it?
That for WCW was just...
Oh, that's nice. Oh,
it gives me a tear in my eye every time I watch it.
Because they used that song for a video package at the end of 01.
It was end of 01, I think. Start of 02, yeah. They show it at live shows.
Start of 02, because it was Ric Flair going, don't bring in the NWO, look at how brilliant we are.
Yeah. And it's staggering. It's like one of the best things they ever did. And one of the best things Trimoon ever did.
Here's the thing, like with WWE, when they want to be good, they can be very good. Mm-hmm. But they quite often choose to not be good. It's fucking annoying.
Yeah. Sorry, I was watching very amusing messages I'm getting from people.
That's all right, mate.
About something that I can't laugh about. So I'm just like, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted.
It's a super chill SmackDown review this week.
You can tell.
So we're very lackadaisical. Those are all the things that are happening in the wrestling world this week.
They are.
And not to say that is all. It's a big week.
Oh, it certainly is.
And it's a SmackDown, which is half an hour shorter. So
yeah.
I hope you've got other podcasts. Do you know what? You've had a 4-hour Close Holy Wrestling podcast.
I'm actually very happy that it's only an hour long.
It's only an hour long.
Should we go talk about it when it comes up? Because it gets brought up a lot as a plug.
Oh, as a why it's shorter. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we mentioned it off the top.
Okay, go ahead.
So the reason that SmackDown is an hour long, because you may look on the network and go, hey, it's an hour. And I thought, what have they cut? So I was at the point where I was going to try and find like illegal uploads of this episode, thinking, have I missed something? And then I realized, no. It's an hour shorter by design. It's half an hour shorter by design because it's the debut on UPN of Gary and Mike. This is UPN's adult animated series. It sucks. It really sucks.
Did you see any of it?
I've seen bits of it, and it's just not funny. It's that kind of very dry non-humor that I think was kind of in vogue around this time. And it just, UPN wanted to make something that was going to be the new South Park. And it's just not funny. And it looks like in 01, it was probably quite expensive to make because it was stop motion, claymation. Yeah. You know, it just wasn't funny.
There's many times I'll watch South Park and go, this isn't a good episode. They've just gotten lazy. I don't really know what the show's become. But it's easy to forget how many bad knockoff animated things there were around the time that weren't Family Guy, that came, went, and were never heard of again and didn't deserve to be.
Yeah,
it's the nut check. So at least we'll give them that. Say, look, at least you guys know what you were doing.
Exactly.
And imagine getting bumped. Again, imagine getting the news, they're getting bumped. It's like, is there a sporting event on? No, not that. Are you showing the Godfather trilogy again? No. Gary and Mike. Who?
I assume
this was... those Music City Wrestling Tag Team Champions. they never succeed with a name like that. Gary Mike.
I
used to hire him. He's got a third brother, Capetta.
Oh, nice. Good throwback.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Yeah. Living champion.
Which wrestler is that?
That's Goofy.
Sting. Who's this?
Don't know.
Rey Mysterio. Who's this?
Oh, I see.
Who's this? Who's that?
Oh, that's easy. I tell it the way. It's Terry Taylor.
Spot on. Who's this?
Oh, come on, Tom. Make this too easy. Wildcat Willie.
No, no, close. Ernest the Cat Miller.
Damn it.
Ah, there you go. Well done, mate. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Damn it.
To quote Iceman. Former, now former, Rise heavyweight champion.
That's right.
He was Rise champion for about the same length as Dean Douglas was Intercontinental champion in 1995.
Speaking of which...
Speaking of Iceman!
Do hear... Oh, no. Speaking of Shane Douglas.
Shane Douglas.
Shane Dean Douglas. I hear on the other brand.
On the other channel.
It's Survivor Series time in real life, so we have to obviously talk about the disgusting, horrible brand that is the classic... Retro Raw. Call it Raw because it's not well done. Hey-o.
Don't slag it off because Jatkins is out there. Because now we're in the top office.
Oh, he's a big guy. He's out there. I can't take him. Yeah,
he'll come
right.
And lamp you.
Oh, no.
He'll come punch you.
With a lamp.
He'll have a bombardier in his hand and he'll batter you.
A bombardier.
Jatkins got it. I heard him laugh. I heard him laugh.
Anyway. But I'm attempting to plug your show.
Thank you. Yes, so this Monday, it's a watch-along of In Your House for Great White North, which is the... And mate, and this is why I love it. And we talked about you a little bit when we recorded it. Because we've realised that the divine constant throughout the classic reviews is the British Bulldog. Is going to be.
Yeah.
Because we had a ball ripping him. And we had jokes... And suddenly he's become the punchline on the Classic Raw review. And he's headlining a pay-per-view with a title shot. And it's just like, I feel like, because, yeah, and so Sam Driver and I have started the Classic Nitro review, and we're a few years away from seeing the middle of Bulldog's career. So I feel like I'm watching a trilogy in the wrong order. Like, I've watched the final film. We're now watching, like, episode 1, and we're going to watch episode 2 in a few years' time. Bulldog is the defying constant of the classic reviews, which sucks, because, like, I feel like all we do is take the piss, but in a million different ways. You know, he's not a Pepper Army in jeans in 1995. He's in good nick, but he's just an angry Yorkshireman as far as we're concerned. Yeah. You know, and he hasn't broken his back in WCW yet. He's the divine constant of the classic reviews. He's like the star in the middle of the solar system. John, what would that look like?
If you've got like at the north and northwest, you can see the Bulldog.
Yeah. Wherever you look at night, like John Eiley has basically spent roughly 1/100th of his year doing photoshops of the British Bulldog for multiple different podcasts.
It was good, actually. I was playing along Spectacular Sparky, a game.
You
with
were!
And I said, look, there's Tom. There's Tom. He's talking. He's giving the instructions to Spectacular Sparky. It's amazing. And there were people in the chat going, are you sure it's Tom? He hasn't gone, John, yet. The chat's good. Thank you very much for assuming that. So, you know what? That's fantastic. Let's talk about SmackDown.
Yay! Why not? It's a short one this week. Let's get into it.
So, last week, Vince McMahon countered Austin's pin on Kane and Undertaker to get a WWF title shot against Kurt Angle on Raw. Austin, a bit surprised, but still doesn't trust McMahon. He does tell him, though, yeah, just wait until April 1st and this will all make sense. He doesn't actually say that. So, Austin gets Angle to Monday Night Raw. To the WWF title, and it's a hell of a match.
Oh, mate, it's a fucking amazing match. Yeah. I actually went and watched it, and it's good. Everything, like, Austin's on form, Angle's on form. The chemistry is sublime. JR is the best he's ever been. Like, he's rolling back the years doing this. It's just top to bottom. Even Triple H getting amongst it at the end, which you're about to talk about, even he looked brilliant in this. It was it was so good. If you watch any extracurricular stuff that you do for the Classic SmackDown review, go and watch Angle versus Austin from the first Raw of 2001. It's so good. It makes me excited to be a wrestling fan, watching something like that.
Yeah, it's a genuine feeling of Austin winning. The crowd is ready for it. Mm. Austin gets a stunner. Ref counts 1, 2. And Triple H returns from traction, taking more time off from Armageddon because of his tractor-related illness than when he got dropped in the car at Survivor Series. Just saying.
It's true.
He grabs the ref out the ring, punches him out. Triple H blasts Austin and makes him bleed, posing on top of the announce table to end the show as Jim Ross damns him to hell yet again. There are lots of hells that GI has condemned Triple H to.
A lot of hell. But this was great.
We don't know how many hells there are, but we do know that we are from Oakland, CA, and this episode of SmackDown is 1 hour long. Witty wee, witty woo, witty wit. And just stop mid-wid.
Oh, stop.
We're deciding on who will enter the Rumble last tonight. Oh. Get the fabled 30th number. And we start with Vince McMahon making his way to the ring, and he lets the crowd boo him as the camera spots a Barry Horowitz sign in the crowd.
Yay!
Nice thing to bring.
Big Barry.
That's right. Pat yourself on the back for that, pal.
Classic Raw review. We're currently watching the bit where Barry Horowitz is trying to teach Hakushi English things and American things.
Did he do that with Hakushi?
Yeah, he did it with Hakushi.
I remember that with him.
Yeah. Barry Horowitz and Hakushi were an odd couple tag team, with Hakushi being taught American things by Barry Horowitz.
Why is that?
Because Hakushi isn't from America, so therefore it all confuses him. Like Jacket Time on NXT going, what's Halloween? We don't know what this is.
Dressing up, says King of Cosplay, Kushida.
Yeah, exactly. Hats? What's a hat?
Look, guys, you just won't understand you Japanese people. You have to do something that makes you relatable. And Hakushi's like, my entire gimmick is I'm a spirit monk with... Hiragana and katakana written all over me, and I don't talk. Yeah, but what if you drove a Lexus? Kushi gets the mic. Hey, y'all. Oh, Vince assures us he had nothing to do with Triple H's reappearance or any Lexi, and he was just as surprised as all of us. Lawler believes him, so we should move on. Vince reminds us of the history between the two men, one of whom happens to be his son-in-law, he admits, with the cars and the Rikishi and the big silver pipe, and this ends tonight. Vince has ordered a 24-hour cooling out period between these two men in the interest of safety, so neither man will be here tonight. Moo! Oh, and also Angle is defending the title at the Royal Rumble against the new number one contender, Triple H. Nothing to do with nepotism. No. Cole doesn't believe him, but what does he know? Vince wanted to have both Austin and Triple H appear via satellite, but only Triple H agreed to this.
Austin didn't know how to work a Zoom.
Yeah. And hey, look, it's Stephanie. Fantastic. It's only been 35 minutes since we last talked about you. So Triple H honestly apologizes, honestly, for ruining Angle Austin. What a great match it was for the WWF Universe. Wait, it's a setup all along. He's not sorry at all, Tom.
I'm sorry for absolutely nothing.
Ha ha, you're dumb for believing Triple H, the smartest man in the world.
How do we keep falling for Triple H's brilliant tricks? Yeah. He's so clever. I don't know. I don't think I know a meme more forced than Triple H being the cerebral assassin. Yeah. He's so cerebral. Why? Because he thinks about what he's going to do before he does it. Yeah. Like no, we haven't. We just act haphazardly. Oh, I think about it first.
He's like, Austin, do you want some sugar? What? No, I'm a changed man, Austin. You can trust me. I don't want to. Surprise, it's salt.
I didn't want sugar anyway.
You dumb idiot person-shaped fool. Just when you thought I had the upper hand with the white powder, you thought the thing that I wanted you to think. Like, what?
Look around going,
a child of three wouldn't have fallen for that.
No, I think a more accurate Triple H one would be, do you want sugar, Austin? No, I'm fine. You sure you don't want any sugar? Well, no, I don't want any sugar. Well, I've got sugar here. Do you want some? No, I don't want any. Well, I've put some in. Oh, I'm going to throw it away then. I'm going to make a fresh one. Aha, I poisoned the fresh one because I knew you would vehemently say no and then throw it away and then pick up that exact mug. I am the clever man.
Triple H is Xanatos.
Xanatos, a clever man.
You may have defeated me, Austin, 3 consecutive times, but you forget that was all part of my plan.
What?
Yeah.
How was that part of your plan? Oh. Because Vince McMahon is my dad-in-law, so I'm getting a fourth match next week.
To lose the first three. Who was that scene from Blackadder? We've done the same move 16 times. They won't expect it 17 times.
Yeah. Anyway, Triple H cuts a very 99-star promo about how he took it all from Austin in a very animated manner. Mm-hmm. Triple H says it will end when he says it will be ended. Austin will be watching him at WrestleMania, but he won't be able to drink his beer as the halo keeping his neck safe won't allow him. This will be finished when Austin is finished. Ooh. Then Steph starts talking, and the editing team have to hire Bottley the Bottle as a work experience kid to help out with the editing requirements to head out the slut chance. See, like this period in time, we are giving even the mid-carders stories and plot resolutions. Triple H says Angle has been the WWF champion for so long only because Triple H has allowed it.
I allow it.
Also, Triple H says, been like Ben. As in, my attention has been diverted. Angle has been the champion. Did you notice this?
I didn't, but now I can hear it in my head. Has been
the champion. You know where I've been.
Like, what are we watching tonight, Triple H, on our British TV?
Oh, God.
We're going to watch Mr. Ben. Oh, cool. I like that. It's the one about the guy who gets changed into different outfits. No, it's Rowan Atkinson being silly. You know, Mr. Ben. No, that's Mr. Bean.
Oh,
yeah,
you mean
Mr.
William
Ben,
Regal.
That's what I'm saying. It's William Regal as Mr. Bean. Mr. Ben.
What's that song you like, Triple H? It's Ben.
My favourite actor is Sean Ben. Well, that big part actor.
Well done, you got that right.
Or is it Sean Ben?
No, I've not seen Ben. Anyway, Triple H talks even more.
You know what I like to have on my toast?
What?
Egg.
Triple H
You thought I was going to say Ben, didn't you? Baked
Surprise!
Ben. Surprise, I didn't.
The cerebral assassin has been and done it already.
I am the clever man. Talent but the game. I am the game. Not having baked Bens, I'm having eggs.
Ben. Anyway, Triple H talks even
We're
more.
We're calling our son Ben. What, Bean?
But the point has been made twice already. 17 and a half minutes that lasted. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Anyway, tonight, Rock versus Rikishi versus Kane versus Undertaker. Which Kane will it be tonight?
Well, I have every hope that it's going to be Cool Kane. Do you know what? People love Cool Kane.
Yeah.
A lot of love for Cool Kane. He is the coolest Kane, and I get it.
Because people like Kane, and they like Kane when he wins and he's a badass. And he's been getting a lot of victories on TV recently against main event dudes. So let's see if this continues tonight.
Cool Kane.
If it's not him winning, then it's obviously normal Kane, a.k.a. uncool Kane.
Uncool Kane. Normal Kane. Normal Kane.
It's me.
Oh, I get it. Beans.
Hey, Triple H. Would you like some Ben's? Uncle Ben's?
Yes, thank you. I love rice. Thank you, Kane.
Ah, you're getting married.
Oh, Kane appears to be misunderstood me, but it's okay because I need some more fiber in my diet. I'll take his beans.
Oh, now I'm the clever one. I'm now clever, Kane.
Kane misses the point at his head and points toward the wall next to him. Edge and Christian go and check Kurt Angle to see how he is. They check his locker room, but it's empty. But you know it's Kurt Angle's locker room because there's a giant fuck-off American flag in there. As if we wouldn't have understood what this meant. Whose room is this?
This is a rider that he has.
Yeah.
He demands American flag in the room so people can find his room.
That and a giant picture of himself bollock naked.
Did you notice that Edge had a cute nickname for Kurt Angle that he's never properly used?
My pumpkin-y wumpkin-y.
I wasn't expecting a Blackadder reference.
Sorry. What did he call him?
It was sadly my pumpkin-y wumpkin.
I think it was just how quick you pull that out. Sorry. My pop goody, wop goody. No, pork chop.
Edge
walked into the room and went, "Pork chop, where are you?" And I don't know when I don't know about the genesis of McGillicuddy. I don't know about the
don't
genesis.
Don't say genesis of pork chop.
The genesis of pork chop. I don't know about the genesis nor the exodus of the name pork chop.
I like it.
I love it. I love it. I've never heard Edge call Angle pork chop before. I hope it sticks. I hope it sticks.
Pork chops tend to stick.
My pork guinea, bum guinea.
Also, Edge and Christian have to defend their tag titles at the Rumble. Ooh.
Here's Team Extreme to continue the never-ending and never-over Malenko versus Lita feud. He dumped American cheese over her on Raw, a fate worse than death, and then watched her shower in the locker room. The Hardys then break his friggin' legs, which is... honestly, fair enough.
Yeah.
Can they do this to the writers of these segments as well? Because he was proper like, oh, look at Lita on slavery wavery.
Slavery wavery.
Mmm. And
they break his leg.
Yeah, he breaks friggin' legs.
Now he's
only 4'3".
He's off to have surgery. So this is a way of writing him off the telly box because he's had some niggling leg injury for a while that he's now going to go and get sorted.
Oh.
So that's why he had his leg broken. So he can go and have some leg surgery.
Is this the end of this bit then? Because it just doesn't... It's just no pay-per-view build.
No. This is it. This is the end. Just,
good.
Just like that. Not a bang, but a whimper.
You know what? I'm happy he had to go for surgery. Yeah, Screw this.
I do believe the next time we see Malenko is he just starts appearing on Sunday Night Heat. Unless he's been doing it already. Maybe he has. Because I remember that he had a bunch of matches on Sunday Night Heat with his new James Bond music. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we've not heard much of it on SmackDown. I remember the gimmick because of the SmackDown games, but on SmackDown, he's not done a lot of it.
Because he had loads of matches on Heat and on Metal with this music.
Yeah.
And then the one night he walked out on Raw with it, and the commentators went, "What's this new music all about?" And he'd had it for months. You just heard it on Heat and on Metal. So I wonder whether we've had that bit. So I think next time
Speaking of Heat, how about that leader? Wow, she's... sexy and has boobs.
My pop
wow,
kitty,
Dean.
Kitty.
Yeah, Dean, this is going to be great, this angle. Amazing. Check out that Dixie chick.
I wish she would do a moonsault on maybe me or someone else.
The Iceman cometh. I think I've said that before.
So, because of this...
The Iceman goeth away.
The Iceman limpeth away.
The Iceman limpeth awayeth.
The Hardy Boys will be teaming up in this multi-person match. The One Billy Gunn. Oh, yeah, that'll help. Michael Cole advertises a new show coming up called Tough Enough.
Whoa!
Where you too could be a wrestler. All I've typed is, oh, no. I'm not sure if this show did more bad than good in the long run, but we'll see when we get there.
Well, WWF, according to The Observer, WWF announced this week plans to debut a new reality-based television show called Tough Enough. The idea, which Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler plugged on Raw, is to take 12 talented, charismatic male and female athletes and train them to be wrestlers. According to a WWF press release, the group will live together, train together, play together, and compete against each other for the ultimate prize, contracts with the World Wrestling Federation. And at this point, everybody is being encouraged to send in a video of themselves to apply for the show.
Oh, we've got a video.
Sorry. Did you ever consider doing Tough Enough?
Well, I was one of those lads who's like, well, I do PE like twice a week at school. Yeah, I can be a WF wrestler. Mm. It's absolutely no idea what it involves.
If you listen to this, I'm intrigued, right? I want to put this out on the podcast because we're going to start. I think Tough Enough is going to come up in conversation quite a bit over the next few months. If you were one of those that sent a tape in too Tough Enough, would you be up for a chat about it? And I'd like to know your experience of it.
I'm not on Twitter and just say, yeah, anyone...
Maven enters the chat, but not so much Maven. Like,
MJF put his tape on her, whatever, for the last season of Tough Enough they did.
Mm.
He very briefly appeared on TV, I guess.
Oh, okay.
If that counts.
Well, he'd be quite a cool one. But like, if you did...
No, he's not going to appear on our show.
If you did and you fancy dropping me a tweet, we'd love to have a chat with you about it. We'd love to find out more about the process.
get in touch at Tom Campbell or at Matthew Gregg on Twitter or at Cultaholic on Twitter, whichever you prefer. Because I feel like there's going to be a few people listening to this who go, oh, I applied for that. Yeah, yeah. I'd love to know like the process.
I'm still on the mailing list for WWE to this day.
they keep sending me tape, cassette tapes of theme songs.
You want to send me Bossman's chocolate dog.
One bit at a time. until we pay the ransom.
Is it bad that I can't remember what that joke was about?
Okay, the Big Boss Man chocolate dogs was... Steve Austin was eating them for breakfast. And was it...
It's been a while. I'm like, it gets referenced by Colonel XB, and I'm like, I don't remember what that was about.
We do so many... so much shit on here. And I feel bad because I'll get messages from people going, hey, I've just listened to episode 27, and you're right about apricots... And I'll go, what did I say about apricots? And I'll just, you could literally message me about something we said in episode 35. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what we did in episode 35. You might be lying. You might not be. You watch us get tweets now about, yep. Well, episode 35, you did this. I can't remember for the life of me. Yeah. And I won't go back and listen.
That's just rude. Team Extreme Billy, as I've called them, take on the Right to Censor because they're so good. Jeff sails over the ropes onto Bull quickly, and he takes a lot of abuse to allow a hot tag to Billy for more abuse on Bull. Okay, fine. He lands the sleeper slam. Matt Hardy gets the leg drop, but the Twist of Fate gets countered mid-swing with a well-timed Steven kick for the Hardys' traditional finish of hitting 15 finishes, then losing to a low kick, like every single fighting game you've ever seen.
That's pretty accurate for them.
Yeah, so the RTC get some of their, I guess you could call it, heat.
Good call it, maybe something vaguely resembles heat.
Yeah.
Jerry Lawler like a dog in heat throughout this match.
When is he not?
Because he'd seen a glimpse of Lita in the shower and he was just like, just like he's never seen an elbow uncover, unsheathed in his life. Like,
it's every noise that Tom would make. Tom and Jerry when he gets like his tail slapped.
That's basically Lawler. Also, I'll make a comment here about Billy Gunn that we made on the classic Raw review, the Watch Along of In Your House 4, available Monday. Everybody talks about like guys, like how Goldberg, you know, for better or for worse, is in great shape for his age.
Yes.
Billy Gunn is nearly 60. Mm. And he looks phenomenal.
Oh,
and
he
wrestles still really well for a nearly 60-year-old. And doesn't get and wrestles more frequently than Goldberg.
Yeah.
He's always on the dark with the ass boys.
No, I appreciate him a lot more. There was an indie show a few years ago where I came out and the crowd were like...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Billy and Chuck did a little dance to the beat, and so I was like, ooh, you know, be a bit gay. And he was like, smoking guns, because he's like fighting the audience, pew, 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 his finger guns. And then he goes, like,
VKM. VKM's like, we're doing TNA now?
What show was that? I'm trying to remember. There was an indie show that had Billy Gunn on. And I don't think Hardcore Holly as well, randomly.
Maybe. I don't find it, but he's just soaking up because he's like, yeah, I know my place in the business. I'm not going to be like, Billy Gunn going to small indie going, I want the title tonight or anything like that. It's just like, hey, I'm Billy Gunn, remember me? I'm like, yeah, you're looking really good. And you're way bigger than I thought you would be.
Jesus Christ, you're
like,
9 foot 2.
Yeah, like, what happened there? Anyway.
Backstage. I was about to say, why did he not become WWF champion? But then we've done all
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
we've done that. We've covered
you
that.
You had your time.
We've covered that. Yeah. Jeez, we've covered that.
The badass cop-loving Undertaker spits chewing tobacco like a badass. Oh, he's the big dog. And he runs the yard. Better bet on the dead man. He's
support
every
our troops.
Yeah, he's every Facebook meme my dad shares on Facebook. You're the one. Yeah, when you come at the big dog, you better not miss with the big dog.
Support our troops.
Support the troops, but support crime at the same time. I guess there'll just be civil war and I'll be in the middle, cheering them both on. As the criminals fight the army in the streets. And I'll be on my Harley revving up going, yeah. Shut up. Stupid old fart.
Shut up, Undertaker, you brat.
Dead man.
Boring. Hey! High five. You got it for your hands.
I pumped my mouth like I'm Ronnie Walker.
Dead man boring. You've done it now.
You've gone and make a bad promo.
For me, it's gozzing tobacco in front of a lady. That's bad.
Is that considered cool in America? Wow, he's chewing tobacco. He looks like his entire face is swollen with some sort of venereal disease.
Is that why when they do the anti-smoking thing, they go, tobacco is wacky, brackets, you're a teen, undead biker, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah. Hey, kids, smoke.
I just think, would Cool Kane do chewing tobacco?
No.
No.
Because he's cool.
Because he's got a mask
on. People don't do chewing tobacco.
What would he do? He's got a mask on. He goes, and it just dribbles out the front.
Face going, like when Homer eats the really sour lemon. Hey. The Oakland Raiders are here. Yay. Never mind that. His cane in an alleyway. Unsure which direction to go. His test heading to the ring for his match. Hey, Kane, here's a hint. Go the opposite direction of where Test is going.
Test
is,
Test.
And I've typed here, face? Question mark. Anyway, he's facing Kay Quick, who also gets absolutely no pop, aside from people yelling, hey, where's Road Dog? Lawler tells Cole to stop dancing to Kay Quick's music because, quote, you look like a spaz. Which has a much more different connotation in America than it does in England. We should point out.
It's a word that, again, was very much used as just like just an insult for a long time. I remember an episode of Johnny Bravo. Right. There was an episode of Johnny Bravo where a little kid went to Johnny Bravo. He said, man, you're spazzy. Later, Captain Spaz. And a year later, I watched that episode again, and it had been dubbed over.
Yeah.
But the kid, just for those two lines, had a completely different voice. It was a kid going, man, you're stupid. Later, Captain Stupid. Yeah. And then it was the same cool voice for the rest of it.
It turns into something more politically correct in 2001. He went, Johnny Bravo, you are the extreme. Kay Quick flies around and does look good. So good, in fact, Colt spends some time plugging Gary and Mike's only season. Gary and Mike going down harder than Kay Quick, getting a big-ass powerbomb from Test. Lawler says Test hasn't been the same since Steph left him at the altar. Lawler, you are not helping. That's far too honest.
It's too on the money, that. Yeah.
Kay Quick manages a beautiful Frankensteiner on Big Test, considering they're both big lads. Very crazy-looking move there. But then messes up a backflip. And the crowd boos before running directly into a big boot for Test, whose new gimmick is he's 1999. It's like nothing's happened.
He just got out.
There's a power cut. in your VCR or your microwave just goes off and comes back on and flashes at 0000 until you do something. That's a test right now. After the match, K-Quick offers a handshake, but then Test goes, no, high five. K-Quick's like, all right, and then jumps up in the air and kind of misses the high five in the process, but no one cares enough.
That's the babyface turn for Test.
Okay.
I didn't say it was a good babyface turn.
Good, I'm glad you didn't.
I didn't say it was a good one. It was just a one.
High five, K-Quick, the man no one cares about. We should be friends. And K-Quick's like, I'm not that desperate. Can you imagine K-Quick and Test wrap into the ring?
Oh, please. This is a weird one for Test, but in case there's any doubt that Test is now a babyface, what happens next?
TNA?
No. Oh. There's a high five for Test and K-Quick. Test heads to the back, does a celebrate, gets bashed in the head by William Regal.
Oh, sorry. I thought you thought, well, hypothetically, yes.
No.
Regal
bashed
smashes
in the head by Regal.
I was trying to figure out who was facing this match. Then Regal smashed the European title over the back of Test. So I get it. Willie's face.
Yeah, Regal's the face.
I see. I was trying to think of a rhyme to do. Like, okay, me, Test and K-Quick. K-Quick heading to the ring. Do you have Games Master Magazine episode 77 with the thing on the front cover so I can figure out how to unlock? How to get past Mido in Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Okay, let me think. No, we can do this. We can do this.
Ad-libbing fantastic.
We can do this. It's K-Quick. It's K-Quick and Test. What? It's K-Quick and Test. Who could ask for more? If you got a graphics pack for Donkey Kong 64.
Oh, there, thank you, Tom.
There it is. We're going to beat our opponents till they're on the floors. Yeah, seriously, though, I'm stuck on Lilac Wars.
Test and K-Quick, you better not bet. How come my copy of No Mercy turns into your keeps on resetting?
Reset.
Oh, God, I can't do
this. We got great moves that we want to flaunt. If you rotate the control stick backwards, you can do your opponent's taunt.
We've got so many fans, we're going to fill a shopping mall. Anyone want to use copy of Iggy's Wrecking Ball?
We're the best tag team that you'll ever see. Earl Hebner is on Costume Change 3.
Okay, quick and Test. Who can ask for more? My grandma got me Softbox 64.
We got the whole room up partying and drinking. Seriously, Wetrix, what the fuck was he thinking?
Okay, that's the one then. Kai and Tai backstage talk to the XFL cheerleaders. Of course, there's lots of XFL in these episodes. Kai and Tai magically do the overdub, and XFL cheerleaders are like, wow, how do you guys do that? And quote, ancient Chinese secret, even though we are not Chinese.
Jeez.
Fuck. And they go, aha, thank you, XFL cheerleaders, who are just all over them, and go, show us your pom-pons. We want to see your pom-pons. Afterwards, Cole says, well, that was funny.
Glad he told us.
But here's no laughing matter, and it's Rikishi doing squats. No one in the crowd was laughing during that segment with Kai and Tai.
Vince was laughing his head off. You know that.
Why even bother hiring Japanese wrestlers to come over if all you're going to do is, hey, wouldn't it be great if you were stupid as fuck? You don't know anything about anything.
Well, it's Vince McMahon thinking this is how you get a Japanese wrestler to connect with a Western audience.
Make
this
them less Japanese.
Yeah, basically go, hey, this is what the American audience understands as Japanese. Whereas you go, I don't know, here's a wild idea. Why don't you just let two really good wrestlers wrestle? What a crazy, crazy idea. And you know what? In 2021, we're talking about jacket time. on NXT 2.0, and it's 20 years since the Kai and Tai dub. And I don't know. I mean, there's been flashes of greatness. I mean, Shinsuke Nakamura has never been through that kind of storyline rigmarole. It's always been about Shinsuke Nakamura.
Episode 90 of SmackDown. Nakamura's taught by Baron Corbin how to order a Popeye's chicken. We didn't get those segments.
We thankfully didn't
and
get
And Nakamura
those.
Did really well for himself.
Yeah,
by comparison.
Because they haven't gone, he's Japanese, therefore he doesn't understand America. They've just gone, Shinsuke Nakamura is one of the best freaking wrestlers on the planet. Go and wrestle. Brilliant.
That was a long time
ago. What a shock that worked. Imagine Nakamura when he won the Rumble. Big pop when he won the Rumble. At no point they went, I don't understand how he got over. We didn't even do any overdubs or any funny skits. It's an anomaly. He
takes on AJ Styles for the title of the crowd. USA. Nakamura's like, that's right. That's my country
now.
That's
more like it. Yeah. According to The Observer, speaking of the Oakland Raiders cheerleaders from the XFL, the plan was to make the cheerleaders into stars, with some of them planning to get microphones and interview people in the crowd at XFL shows. They were keen to kind of... Because, again, this is a point where...
God.
This is a point where you don't necessarily need to be wrestling experience to be a female wrestler in the WWF. You just need to have a certain look. It wouldn't have shocked me if you had somebody like a John Laurinaitis already sort of scouting some of these cheerleaders to go, you'll be wrestlers.
Yeah, you're scouting the cheerleaders already.
Yeah, well,
Oh, your biceps looking good. Angle is interviewed by Coach, and it's just crazy thinking Angle couldn't have kicked out of Austin Stunner on Raw before Triple H interfered. Triple H is a great athlete, but when it comes to the Olympic Games of life, you don't qualify. Hey, you were in that Hell in a Cell match at Armageddon, and you lost. Kurt Angle, one part Rimmer from Red Dwarf, and one part Father Dougal from Father Ted.
He's the best
so
parts
good.
Of both worlds.
Kurt Angle has a backup strat against Triple H and Stephanie, and that's Trish Stratus.
Yay.
I have no memory of this.
Do you not?
Trish Stratus managing Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Oh.
She manages him all the way through the Rumble.
Oh.
She's in his corner for the Royal Rumble.
Oh.
Because he's aware that, because he tried to recruit Stephanie.
That's right. And she was like, whoa.
She said, well, I can't go be with my husband. Yeah. So Angle, kind of knowing that the fix is in, has gone, okay, well, I need somebody to counteract Stephanie. So let's get somebody who is up for a ruck with Stephanie McMahon. And that is, of course, Trish.
Oh, and that leads to No Way Out 2001, right? Mm. Oh, okay, cool.
And Trish is chosen because Trish is obviously involved with Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. So Angle proving that he is one of the cleverest guys. He's actually clever, not cerebral assassin. Ha-ha! I knew you were going to do that's why I lost 30 times. Clever, like he's actually clever.
Yeah.
Is Angle, and that's why he's got Trish Stratus as his manager. Yeah. And I love it because at this point Trish Stratus is an incredibly sexualized character. Mm. She's a very sexual character with Vince and everybody else. And Angle completely not that way.
Great,
to a point where she might even make a few comments towards him, and he's just oblivious to it.
Yeah,
and I like the but then you have like Jerry Lawler going, what's wrong with Kurt Angle? She's clearly hitting on him. It's like, well, he's just not a perv like everybody else is in his era. Let him be. He's got a match to do. Crack on, mate.
Yeah. Crack on, mate. 1-800-COLLECT. The easiest way to save money so you can go buy lugs of your extra cash.
Did you ever use, like, because that's sending cash, isn't it? So you put cash into an envelope.
Is that what 1-800-COLLECT is?
No, sorry. I'm thinking of Western Union Money Transfer. 1-800-COLLECT is when
it's a collect call when you can the other person pay the charge, right?
Because they realised, the company that made 1-800-COLLECT realised that collect calls were a thing, but nobody owned like the rights to collect calls. Nobody was running a business that ran collect calls. So they went, well, why don't we? And offer it a bit cheaper.
It's crazy, that.
And they went, we did it. And they did. So then other places popped up and did something similar. I think it's a bit like Directory Inquiries in the UK.
Oh.
How like there was always like BT Directory Inquiries. And then all of a sudden everybody went, so it's like an open market, which is where you get like 118, 118, 118, 24/7.
Right.
You know, 118,
500. I've never really thought about it like that.
Yeah, that suddenly they realized it was there for the taking. So suddenly you had all these companies popping up with like, and they would say like, we're not just going to answer your questions about phone numbers and stuff. Like, call us about anything. Like, 118-118 was designed to be like, you call us about whatever you like.
Yeah.
And we'll give you an answer. And so people just played silly buggers with it. But
of course, then
the internet happened.
Yeah.
So that's a shame.
But we did get like 10,000 118-118
adverts. Oh God, yeah. They were everywhere. They advertised. They were like, they were bumpers and sponsors for movie nights and stuff on TV channels and things like that. But then what happened is the internet happened, and then everybody got crippling anxiety because of the way that the internet works. So not only did you have access to everything, but you never needed to make a phone call again. Mm. So we're now at a point where we all have phones, but no one makes phone calls. Yeah. When my phone rings, I go, who's this? No. Unless it's like my dad.
What was that one story recently about the guy who went to the... He says he was lost, or maybe he was missing. I forget how it worked. But people were trying to ring him, but he didn't answer it because it was a withheld number.
Mm.
And he's like, no, it's us. It's the Hiking Saving People Agency. Yeah, but it was an unknown number.
But it's weird. Did he know he was lost?
I can't remember, actually.
Because that'd be weird. I would assume that he didn't know he was lost. Like, he didn't realize that we were worried about it.
Yeah, he wouldn't have known, obviously. He's like, the dumbest going, man ever.
I don't know where I am. I don't know where I am. Who's that
yeah,
man? That.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know where I am.
But you know what? Knowing people.
No.
People who are not out buying lugs. You can't trust people. It's Edge and Christian doing the old person version of the guys they're feuding shtick and throwing in the crap Photoshop bit in the same segment. Wow.
What's your favorite one of those?
What, the old person bit? Or
the old person bit.
This might be the bit where they talk to one of the old people, Dudley's, because they're already done it with the Hardy Boys and stuff.
Yeah,
and
they did the Hardy
Boys. Oh, that was it, when the woman kept them forgetting their lines and just kept them going, like, my ass is falling out or something like that. Yeah, what? That wasn't the line? All right, whatever. Yeah, probably that one. What about you?
It's a bit off the beaten track, but... It's when I didn't really count, really, but it's when, I don't know if it counts. It's when Jim Duggan was doing the taped fist match in WCW.
Oh yeah,
and he went back to Ireland to find out about his family tree. And there's a picture in this old sort of Irish history book of his great 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 grandmother who was a street fighter, and it's basically a photo of Jim Duggan in drag. And he's like, "Yeah, that's my great 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 grandma." Oh. And apparently she used to go, ha, which is where ho came. Because even ho apparently has been passed down like muscle memory, like how cats will stand guard at the bathroom. Like that's been passed down through muscle memory. Have I told you about Pablo doing that?
Doing what? Ho?
No, yeah, he does ho. No,
remember that.
When I went to the loo when I was on Home Alone, Kevin... And Pablo came in to see what I was doing. And then he walked away from me and he just sat in the doorway. And then it happened again and he did it again.
So pet and you're just trying to like do a normal bodily thing.
Yeah, and he just came in and a little fuss around. Then he walked away and then he sat with his back to me in the doorway. And he did it a couple of times and I looked it up. And apparently it's because when cats are doing the business, they can't move. So if they're in a pack, they'll have another cat stand guard. In case of predators. So what Pablo's doing there is going, don't worry, buddy, I got you. And he's standing guard.
Oh.
It's adorable.
Oh,
I know. Isn't it cute?
But what if, like, you know, Alex comes in and she's like, hello, Tom.
Yes. Scratches her eyes out. Get away. I'm protecting my friend.
Yeah, Tom shitting.
Isn't that cute?
That is really cute.
It's cute, that is. He did it again this morning. Yeah. He just went and said, don't worry, buddy, I got you.
Aww.
And just sat there. Love him. These days.
Anyway, the Dudleys murder the old version of themselves.
Oh, yes.
Basically, the plot of Looper.
Would that mean that? No, that wouldn't mean they would die, would it? Because
no, the old version of them would die, but then it depends on your following logic if that would then be them, if they're in a stable time loop or not.
How old is Bubba Ray now? Because surely he's coming up to...
Too old to be speaking his mind on Twitter without getting a significant backlash.
Wow. I just... I wonder if he's older, if he's about the same age as... The older Dudley. No, because it wasn't... No, they weren't Dudleys from the future, were they? They were just their parents. They were Mother Ray and Daddy Devon.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's the segment where Ed says, I'm like, oh, I feel so sorry for your uterus.
Yeah.
Yeah, great segment. Ed and Christian show up wearing Raiders jerseys to suck up the crowd. That's interesting. Of course, the crowd fall for it. Cheer the compliments before Edge removes his jersey to reveal... Ravens, oh no, they're the rival team. Boo, no, we're the local guys, no, boo. They do a good bit where, hey, Gary, for a flash forward for this Sunday,
where Christian charges towards Edge and then takes a bump off. Anyway, they're teaming up with the IC champ Benoit to take on Jericho and the Dudleys. Jericho backslid Benoit on Raw in a six-man, so figure out what's happening here. Match brought to you by WWF SmackDown 2 Know Your Role and Greyhound, aka the Megabus, but American.
Nice.
Who will give you an XFL shirt if you use them.
Please, wow. Please use our service.
A 16-hour bus trip for an XFL shirt. Nice. Jericho sees Benoit as the champ, and he says, you know what? That looks good. Look better on me, though, for the third time. And Benoit cuts off Jericho like he did last week by going, I've beaten you loads of times. I've beaten you again and again and again and again. And then sadly has to force a line about, do you think you can use me to climb the ladder of success and beat me? So Jericho can go, hey, that sounds like a great idea. How about me and you? Yeah, a ladder match. As a Royal Rumble.
What else could Benoit have possibly said there? Just to shoehorn in another gimmick. If
Benoit shoots a shot and goes, hey, how about you suck my dick? Well, it's funny you say about suck. Whoa, wait, what did you say, Benoit?
Hey, I keep...
They couldn't make a Chris Benoit nowadays, could they? Because the purple retina's gone mad.
I beat you again and again and again. You'll need some tender loving care, some TLC for all the beatings that I've...
Oh, no.
Wait a minute, I've got a great idea.
Well, challenge me again. You'll need to get me a 20 box of Chicken McNuggets. That's right.
If you want to beat me, you're going to have to get me a new Ford Capri.
Oh, that's good because Akushi's trying to sell one. Anyway, the lads start fighting. It's looking good. But a minute later, Austin's music hits. Huh. And the tag teams get their brains scrambled while Jericho and Benoit bugger off so they could feud with them in 6 months' time. Well, that was abrupt. I wasn't expecting that. He being Steve Austin, demands Vince come out. But when he does, he tells him, whoa, that's far enough. Vince then goes to leave, so Austin says, hey, if you leave, I'll split your head open. Just stand there and look like a dumbass. No one tells Austin what to do, damn it. So he asks Vince, am I in the Rumble? You're in. Great. Now go back to the back and tell the other 29 guys that I'm pissed off. And that's that. Okay, that was nice and simple. This 1 hour compressed episode we've got, considering you have to get rid of some stuff. They did the stuff with the tag dudes and the Benoit and the Jericho. Austin has to do his bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Obviously, being quick about these.
I wonder why. There's a wild inconsistency with the Rumble, isn't there? And it's been the case for 20 years. How some people have to have matches to qualify. How some people will have to threaten management to get into the Rumble. And some will just walk out and go, I am officially entering the Rumble. So, like, why Austin couldn't just go, I'm officially entering the Rumble? Like, why he had to get clearance from Vince McMahon to enter the Rumble?
Depending on how far ahead they've planned a lot of this stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Was it Ricochet who won a qualifying match for the last Rumble? And then his opponent just got announced. And he was like on Twitter going, man, what? So it sounds like a Ricochet thing.
Yes.
Anyway, Tough Enough gets plugged again. If you win, you get a WF career. Oh, no. What happens if you lose? That's really the thing. If you lose, you get a WCW career. Anyway, Vince McMahon goes to see Trish to unwind and exposition all over her. Trish says she's been bad for joining Kurt Angle, so she deserves a spanking. Crowd pops like bulldogs just finished a shift down the mines. Gary for some hot spanking action with Trish. Before Trish pulls the door shut. And they'll go, boo! Then Kane's pyro goes off immediately, hinting at a possible spanking / Kane connection.
I like the fact that you had Jerry Lawler going, oh my gosh, spring, and then you had Kane's pyro.
It's like in the films where they don't, like, we're going to have sex now, and don't show it. They show like a train going through a tunnel.
Kane doesn't come out though because he's knocking on Vince's door. I heard there was spankings going on.
I'm the Kane this week. I'm Kinky Kane.
Yes.
Yes, please.
Kinky Kane.
I'm Kinky Kane. I love a cold shower. So I always have a hot one. Sorry, I've been mixed up with my brother, Sadomasochist Kane. That's where that joke works. Yeah. Tom got the opening wrong. Never mind. Never mind. It's been a long day.
Let's take off the mask. This is just normal Kane.
Exposition Kane! Better known as Dennis Norden. You see, the thing about that is the joke went wrong.
Oh, God.
And Tom is now writing to get back into the show, a bit like in Wallace and Gromit, where he's putting the train track together as the train is going. It's a gift.
Wallace
now.
And Gromit are animated.
like
Mike and I've already forgotten Mike. The name of the show. What's it called? Why is this episode an hour long?
Mike and Ike. No.
Mike and Cancelled. The new UPN show that will run for
Gary
20 episodes.
Mike.
Gary and Mike.
Gary and Mike.
Gary and Mike, like Wallace and Gromit. The tag team of the 90s.
The wrong trousers, bloody cracker Gromit.
Yes. They're remaking classic Wallace and Gromit episodes, but to be American.
Because they don't get a British humour. They only eat guns.
Yes. This is the wrong rifle, Gromit.
The wrong rifle.
Mine's the blue one with stickers.
The wrong
Yours is the red one that says Go Oakland Raiders on it.
The wrong pants.
The wrong pants. Airs on UPN after a brand new SmackDown that's shorter than usual.
The wrong pants. The wrong rifle.
The wrong pants.
Hey, Gromit, these are the wrong pants!
Followed shortly by a close cheeseburger. Wow, these bits are going on for a while. We have to. It's an hour long.
A close no health care. A close stolen election.
Followed by the big motion picture release of The Curse of the... Why are all these TVs in NTSC format? It looks all weird on my PAL format TV. This is bullshit. Starring Test as the angry man.
NTSD, which famously stands for No Test Step Channel.
Sorry, there's that piercing laugh again. Anyway, Kane gets in the ring because it's a match.
He's good for that.
He won't allow Rikishi into the ring without attacking him until Rikishi is forced to run into the ring to save his life because here comes The Undertaker. And all the steps have been put back, as he's obviously expecting this. He feels a bit foolish. He gets to the ring, and then Undertaker walks to the ring for a change.
Undertaker's like, oh, I should have... I could have drove the rest of the way. I'm not bothered about getting my steps.
I'm a badass.
Troops.
Support the troops and watch the wrong pants.
What's the wrong cheese bloody burger, Gromit?
His pants just stars and stripes.
No, it's the pants he wore at Survivor Series. Oh my God, that is the wrong trousers. Undertaker in the wrong trousers. How did we miss that?
The wrong grandma's wallpaper.
John! The wrong trousers starring The Undertaker. They tag him in it.
Anyway, that's
With
all
With no
happening.
Context.
Kane punches him a lot until The Rock appears, and as Rock makes his way into the ring, the WF 2001 copyright screen appears. Wow, did that end the show when this first aired?
No, I think it might have been either an error, or did they not have the copyright logo appear at the start of each hour?
Maybe. That's what I mean. Maybe it's one of the things where it's a few minutes into it, and I guess if you're tuning in, you're like, oh, I'll watch the end of this, and then I'll stay tuned for Gary and Mike.
Because we lose half an hour, so maybe Maybe start a different time. I don't know.
All right, whatever.
Whatever.
Who cares? Rock gets a two count on Kane from the DDT, and it's all a big brawl. Who am I kidding? I'm not going to type this all up. Oh, very well.
Very well detailed, Matthew. Actually. It's not a bad match.
Kane and Rikishi team up because they're both bad men. Rikishi sets up the stink face, but that ain't going to happen to the goddamn Rock. Now, low blow stops it. Undertaker and Rock go at it as Undertaker lands that poo DDT he loves so much, while Kane and Kishi bounce off the ramp. Kane has enough and bounces a chair off a Samoan's head. That's how hard it was. Undertaker interrupts it because he stinks and chokeslams his brother for two as the Rock breaks it up. The Rock clotheslines Undertaker out the ring and pins Kane after Rock bottom. No, he doesn't. Undertaker pulls Rock outside, and that means Kishi ass butts Kane to win the number 30 slot. Oh. Finish was flatter than Kane's ribs. Undertaker clotheslines Rikishi because he's the captain badass of the Man Brigade. And then Rock and Undertaker stare off and punch one another to end the show. But wait, Kane chokeslams the Rock and then the Undertaker. Oh, and hell yeah, Rikishi gets one too. It was Cool Kane. It was Cool Kane all along.
Yay!
Yay!
Cool Kane! Boom, boom,
boom, boom. It was me all along, guys.
Oh, that's why Undertaker didn't ride his bike, because Kane gone, this is my bike now.
Hey, Kane, I'm the big dog. You'd be the big fucking offin' if you look at me like that again. Okay, hey, bro. Here's, you okay? The bike need a push to start or anything like that?
Just leave the fucking there.
Take your hands off my bike. Okay, sorry, Kane.
Fucking come get in a bit. No problem, man.
Ba-ba-ow! Cool Kane!
Cool Kane's brilliant! He's my favourite Kane!
Tess is like, when I grow up, I want to get a strategy guide to be as cool as Cool Kane.
Ain't no strategy guide that can show you how to be as cool as me.
Oh, oh. So cool.
Oh, my leg's shaking.
I completed Lilac Wars without the strategy guide.
Oh my God, how did you do that? Vandross is fucking hard.
I can't get past that asteroid field.
I'd like to point out that I called him Vandross and not Andros.
Luther Vandross!
Luther, what are you doing here?
Only I have the soul. The real Lila.
Never too much memory in the pack.
Luther Vandross.
Which is sensible because Kane would love to dance with his father again.
Before I killed him.
On fire. John, can you do Vandross as the final boss of Lilac Wars? Luther Vandross.
Number 30 in the Rumble, Luther Vandross.
Woke up today, looked at Fox McCloud to get me started. A thousand lasers from you is never too much. And Flippy don't want to stop. I'd like to point out I called him Flippy, not Slippy.
I was going to correct you. Flippy. Vince McMahon's calling the luchadors. Send Flippy out.
Yeah, it's
Flippy,
all,
get back here.
That's the entire lucha division. WWE. Flippy.
Flippy Uno. Flippy Dos. So was, there is no Flippy Trez because we don't hire that many of them.
So it's cool, it was Cool Kane all along.
It was Cool Kane.
All along.
That's right. He nice. Won, well, he didn't win, but he left an impression with me.
He certainly did.
Just, I'm, oh, sorry.
Glad he didn't win because we get.
I was going to say, yeah, oh,
the
no,
ultimate
I want to win.
Cool
oh,
Kane.
But wait, yeah.
We get the wait, ultimate Cool Kane performance.
This was just four really hot guys, Rikishi, punching and hitting each other and brawling with the crowd going. Banana the mm-hmm. whole time. Wasn't much of a match per se, but as an experience, I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it's great. Yeah. Great, like knockabout main event for SmackDown. Good to get Rikishi over as number game out number 30 in the Rumble. Like he's never gonna win the Rumble, but he's a threat in that position. Which is
it
good.
Is the booking would suggest this. The crowd noise would not suggest this.
Yes. But they book him in a position where it's like, oh, there's a chance he could win the whole thing.
He's booking that ass up.
He's booking that ass up.
He's still got some of that residual thing, but I'm trying to remember when it stopped.
After the Rumble.
Is it pretty much that?
He has a tag team
it's
partner.
Not at WrestleMania, is he at WrestleMania X7 off the top of my head?
No.
He's not even the too cool. No, too cool.
No,
don't do much.
No, because he has another tag partner by then.
Yeah.
Do you remember who it is?
Haku. Mm-hmm. But they do a thing on the way out. But then after then that, they're not at WrestleMania.
No. He has a match at Backlash.
That's crazy. There wasn't many people.
And then
not
we don't see him again until like 2002. Because he's not even part of the invasion. Because he has
right.
he has an injury and he has to go away.
That's interesting to think about, isn't it? Anyway, we've got thoughts that we'll probably revisit many months from now. But for now, what was something you remembered from this mini episode?
I remembered, weirdly, Austin running down and battering everybody in that tag match and then asking to be in the Rumble. Like, I thought, that's a shame. That buries the Dudleys with Austin beating him up. I remember that, being annoyed by that. But then I remember thinking, why is it some people can just say I'm in the Rumble? Mm. Why does Austin have to ask? Like, surely, if anyone's going to say, I'm in the Rumble, you some bitch, it's going to be Austin. But I remember that in particular. What did you remember?
Vince McMahon spanking Trish.
Yeah, of course you did.
It's a good memory. Good. Had no effect on me whatsoever. What was something you forgot about this episode?
I forgot. Do you know what? I forgot the four-way main event. I forgot how Rikishi became the number 30 in the Rumble. So I forgot about that. So, but also, I also forgot about Regal twatting Test, which is what sets off their mini feud that ends the. Well, we'll see. But I forgot that Regal was the one that started the Test feud, essentially. Yeah. So that, how about you? What did you forget?
I like those no justification of I just don't bloody like Test.
Don't bloody like Test.
Bloody like Mr. Ben. I'll say. I forgot that the Demolenko, I didn't realize at the time that Demolenko Lita feud ended with the Hardy Boys breaking his frigging legs. What a wonderful. You know what? You're a bit of a knacker here, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Spying and perving on
proper knacker.
Yeah. Go to hell. We're going to break your legs. And it worked because you didn't do it anymore.
It was 100% successful.
Yeah. Well done. Perry Saturn going, ooh, should I do it? Looks Malenko, the wheelchair, and goes, maybe not. I'm getting that big push, you see.
What are you working on this week?
Getting some sleep. No, I'll hopefully... Slap. It was supposed to be going last week, but then life got in the way, as you know, Tom. When you try and do lots of things at once, it turns out you don't do many things at once.
Yeah.
So hopefully put out that bloody video about the FMW title. That kills you. Did my research, did my notes, and just didn't do the video because it's too busy making up for lost time. So, yeah, well, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm excited to see that.
I'm looking forward to seeing him.
The classic Raw review, it's a watch song of In Your House 4. That's on Monday. On Sunday, you have Jack taking over Desert Island Graps. He's interviewing Paul Machin from the Red Men TV, which is the Liverpool fan channel. Liverpool FC fan channel. He's a massive wrestling fan. He talks about the pride of being a Liverpool fan. He talks about interviewing Sven-Göran Eriksson. And, of course, he picks his three favourite wrestling matches. And that's Jack leading that one. It's Paul from Red Men TV. So if you're a fan of the footy and the wrestling, you're in for a treat on Sunday when you hear that. Oh. It's on the podcast feed that you probably got this here thing from. And also this weekend...
Also, the police are going past.
There go the police, not the band. This weekend, it's AEW Full Gear. So a handy-dandy reminder that we will have Adam Pacitti streaming live reactions tonight / early tomorrow morning on youtube.com/cultaholic/live for the show. And Jack will be along with what happened at Full Gear shortly afterwards as well. So for all your Full Gear-related shenanigans, youtube.com/cultaholic over the next 24 hours.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It's a good time. And until we are next having a good time together, he is at Matthew Gregg on Twitter.
I am
at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. So Triple H's phone rings.
Oh, for...
And
it's just the ending credits now.
He says, hello. Hello. Hi, it's Mike Powell from Logistics.
Oh, Mike Powell. How you doing, Mike Powell?
Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, we're looking to spend a bit of money. Can I tempt you? Not even the microphone wants this gag to happen.
Let's do this. You can stay, but I'm leaving.
Do you want to buy a wrestling promotion, Triple H? Maybe one based in Japan? Triple H, what do you think, Triple H? You've got the wallet book open and Triple H scratches... The wallet book. He scratches his chin to Triple H and he goes...
Not currently, thank you.
Love you, bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.